The Cross and Its Shadow by Stephen N. Haskell, narrated by Timothy Turner. Chapter 45, Zebulun. Leah was the mother of 6 of the 12 patriarchs. It is worthy of note that although Jacob accepted polygamy under what might be termed force of circumstances, yet he recognized Leah, the first wife, as his lawful wife. She was buried in the family burying place. When he came to die, he requested that he might be buried in the cave of Machpelah. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah, were among the last words of Jacob. It would seem that he wished his descendants to be able to say of the noted cave, "There they buried Jacob and Leah, his wife." During his life, Jacob allowed circumstances and his love for Rachel to influence him. But when he faced death, he acknowledged God's original plan of marriage. Zebulun was the youngest son of Leah. He was older than Joseph and was born while Jacob was serving Laban. Jacob, on his deathbed, prophetically located Zebulun's inheritance, saying, "Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea. He shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon." Zebulun's portion in the promised land lay between the territories of Naphtali and Issachar, bordering on the southern part of the west shore of the Sea of Galilee, and is supposed to have extended also to the shore of the Great Sea. Moses, in his parting blessing, spoke of Zebulun as a seafaring people. The Bible records nothing of Zebulun as an individual, except his birth. 3 sons are ascribed to him, who became the founders of the tribe which bore his name. There is no record of the tribe having taken any part in the events of the wandering or the conquest of Palestine. Deborah, in her song of triumph after the battle of Megiddo, says that among the tribes of Zebulun were those who handled the pen of the writer, or as the margin reads, "they that draw with the pen." This would indicate that they were a literary or artistic people. In the battle which was a type of the great battle of Armageddon, Zebulun jeopardized their lives unto the death in the high places of the field, or according to the marginal reading, they exposed to reproach their lives. God and his cause were more precious to them than their own lives or reputation. 12,000 of the 144,000 will enter the city of God under the name of Zebulun. 12,000 who, when the enemies of the Lord are numerous and popular, will expose to reproach their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. There will be men in high places who, like those of Zebulun of old, handle the pen of the writer, and wield a wide influence. These men, when the cause of God is in a crisis, will rise up and jeopardize their lives unto the death in the high places, thus bringing victory to the cause of God. It was pure love that actuated Zebulun in that ancient battle. For Deborah says, they took no gain of money. From the record, it would appear that Zebulun and Naphtali were exceptions in this respect, whether they were more prosperous in this world's goods and better able than the other tribes to go to battle as self-supporting warriors, the record does not state. After Israel returned from captivity and the cause of God was again in a crisis, Nehemiah, a self-supporting worker, came forward and did what others could not do. When the Savior hung dead upon the cross, and ignominy was heaped upon his disciples, Joseph and Nicodemus, 2 rich men holding high positions, came forward and performed a work for the Savior, which those who loved him perhaps more sincerely were not able to do. While Zebulun and Naphtali may not have loved God more than the other tribes, yet from the record given by Deborah, it would seem that they turned the tide of the battle by risking their lives, and they took no gain of money for their service. It seems that Zebulun was an intelligent tribe, blessed with this world's goods. But when there came a crisis in the cause of the Lord, we find them risking all to maintain the honor of God's name. Over 200 years later, there was another crisis in the cause of God. Saul was dead, and the true-hearted in Israel came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord. Every tribe was represented, but no tribe excelled Zebulun in number and equipage. 50,000 expert warriors came, bringing their own instruments of war. There were rangers of battle, able to set the battle in array. And what was of more value to the cause of God than numbers or skill? They were not of a double heart, but men the Lord could trust in a crisis. Who is prepared to perfect such a character in the fear of God, and have the seal of God placed upon his forehead? Who will covet Zebulun's character so earnestly that he will be willing to expose to reproach his life for Christ's sake? The land of Zebulun has the high honor of being the childhood home of Jesus. Nazareth was situated within its borders. The people here had an opportunity of seeing and hearing more of Christ than those in any other place. Isaiah prophesied that the land of Zebulun would see a great light. Truly, this prophecy was fulfilled, for they had within their borders the greatest light this world has ever seen. The first miracle performed by Jesus was at Cana in Zebulun. It was also in Cana that the nobleman came to Jesus asking for the life of his son. And the request, like every other prayer of faith, was granted by the great physician.